open Bible, and I hope you can feel the presence of God. This is not something weird. Here, I'm thankful because it's something we contend for, especially when we meet together. I can feel the presence of God right now. Amen? Feel it? What's so cool about God, which is way better than any man can do, is he can speak to each and every one of us individually at the same time. He can touch us all in a different way, exactly how we need to be touched. He can speak to us. He can relieve us of something that has been burdening our lives. He can set us free. He can just give us a hug. He can speak to that lie. He can meet you in your stubbornness. He can meet you in your brokenness. He can meet you wherever you're at. Our God's good. He is limitless. You bring your limitations. He brings his limitless. He's limitless. He can help you in your bad language. Grammar. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm so glad that there is no English teacher that reads my sermons. Hallelujah. He's a good God we serve, church. Amen. Our life stinks sometimes. It's not good. The world is falling apart just like it's been prophesied. But our God has never disappointed us and never let us down. And he never will. Right? The worse it gets, the more you press in. Okay? If you want to be a remnant of the living God, the worse it gets, the more you dig in. Not the more that you get confused, the more that you understand and get grounded in the Word. He's never disappointed you, and he won't now. Amen? Amen. My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. So glad that you joined us today for worship. We got something awesome and special for you today. But first, I want to thank you, Reverend John Helmuth, so much for bringing the word and demonstration a couple weeks ago. Thank you so much. Woo! I love doing that. That's what I do if I was in the crowd. That's my thing. Somebody else did it. Thank you. And then Pastor Mark, thank you so much for bringing the word last week for Father's Day as well. Man, you guys lead us so well. I love it when I can leave and I know that the flock is in awesome hands. So that is so wonderful. Thank you for being obedient and being servants of God and not holding back and doing exactly what God's called you to. So thank you so much. I want to publicly thank you. Also, I just want to talk. We've been gone a couple weeks because we went partly vacation, partly it was a ministry conference, about half and half. The ministry conference that we do is an open Bible, our denomination. And in case you wonder what open Bible is, everybody's Bible should be open. That's what I thought when I first heard about open Bible denomination. I was like, isn't everybody's Bible supposed to be open? That don't make any sense. What is that? So, but it's our denomination. It's actually called a fellowship. But open Bible, Assemblies of God, and Foursquare. We are all cousins out of the same movement. We all believe very similar. So maybe you've been to one of those other churches and you feel like, man, that's very similar. It's because our doctrine is almost exactly the same. That's why it's very similar. But Open Bible as a denomination every 2 years has a national convention. And it is at different locations every 2 years. 2 years ago it was only digital because of COVID and a lot of things shut down, so they couldn't have this big celebration. But this year it was in Frisco, Texas, which is just north of Dallas, and it was an amazing time together. There was about 500 people there, from pastors and ministers and spouses all over the nation. And then they also brought in about every 2 to 3 times they do this, they bring in all the major head leaders that can come from all over the world. So we had people from different parts of Asia, Europe, Africa, everywhere that there's a head minister over a region of people or over a country of churches, they were there. It was amazing. And we were there for 4 full nights, about 5 days in Frisco, Texas. And Frisco, Texas in June is hot as sin, church. I mean, it's so hot the locals, they don't mow the lawn unless it's 7 a.m. or 11 p.m. Oh, for real. Nobody goes out during the lunch hour. Nobody driving around with the windows down. Because it was like 100 to 102 with a heat index of 110 to 112. See, I was surprised even God was there. It was so hot in there. Slam. But seriously, it was ridiculous outside. Thank goodness for air conditioning. Can I get an amen from the first row of people? Hey. On my first row of people. Hey. Man, I don't know what I do with. I am a sissy when it comes to heat. Man, I cannot believe it. But anyway, it was awesome. We spent time with our family as well as we drove down. We stayed in Arkansas with my father-in-law for a few days. We saw some extended family just north of Austin. We drove 2,300 miles in a little less than 2 weeks. It was crazy. We were exhausted. We came back Wednesday, but we're also refreshed. We're excited for what God is doing. And I just want to say one thing about what I witnessed and what I witnessed this morning. I was very much observing this morning. So one thing as a pastor is, you know what? I don't get to visit other churches because I'm always busy on Sunday, right? People expect me to show up, right? It's crazy. So as we're away, one of the things I love to do if I'm able to is I love to go to other churches and see what's going on and witness things and look around and observe and then also, you know, I'm always pouring out. It's good to sometimes get poured into. Amen? So, man, we went to this, I went with my in-laws, my wife, my kids, and my father-in-law. They stayed back with the person that was hosting us, and then the gentleman that was with us, his name's Dwayne, he was my dad for the morning, right? I called him my church dad. Hey, church dad, can you take me to church? So, church dad took me, and we went to this mega church. It was huge, but it was powerful. Everything was so meticulously done professionally. I mean, it felt like I was in a concert. The worship was unreal. But you know one thing I did realize this morning from our church that I just stood and I was just proud of? You guys contend for the Spirit to move. There is a contending that comes in the house today. Right, be released by the blood of Jesus. Soul enter her body again. Hallelujah. Oh, sorry, anybody in front of her. Praise God. You know I got to say something when it's that loud, right? Everybody's like, whoa, what was that? It was a sneeze. Church, it was a sneeze. Mine sounds like kitty cats, and yours sounds like the roaring of a river. Praise God. Thank you. I'm glad she's okay. We believe in healing, church. We believe in supernatural divine healing. But you guys contend for the moving of the Spirit. I just stood right there, and I was worshiping, but I was also observing. And I was so proud, right? I don't know if that's something I can say. I was proud of the church this morning. I was proud of you. All y'all walk in with stuff. I get it. I do too. But you contend that God will show up, and he will meet you, and he will change you, and he will set you free. The church we went to, there's no knocks on it. It's fantastic. Everything was done professionally, and I got a lot of ideas and said, we really need to clean it up. We're really lazy in a lot of areas, and we kind of just, woo, whatever happens, woo, you know, just silly stuff that shouldn't be because we're being lazy, and we become apathetic in a lot of ways. So I learned a lot, but one thing I also did learn was we also don't go, all right, 3 minutes, 13 seconds, we move on to the next song, and the next song, and the next thing, and pump the people in and pump the people out. Let me tell you, the Spirit of God was moving in the house because we want to move. We don't care how long it takes. We don't care whatever's going to happen. We want God to move. We're not going to do religious things just for the sake of religious things, but we are going to contend that God is going to move, and we won't move on to the next thing if God is not going to move with us. And I was so proud of First Open Bible this morning in that. They can have thousands and thousands and the coolest things and free coffee and all this awesome things and all this great material and everything. But man, I just want God. That's the first thing I want, right? Amen? I want God. Also had another vision, church, that this house is going to have to be extended because the people are coming. The lost are broken. The broken and the lost and the hurting. Like I've said from the beginning, I want this place to smell like cigarettes and alcohol because people are getting set free. It needs to smell like that. We can't just sit here thinking that we're just pretty and that everything's going to happen. This is not a library. This is not a museum. This is the house of God. And people need to get filled up. They need to be encouraged. They need to be set free. And this is where we get built up so we can have ministry out there. Yes, you're getting ministered to, but the reason you're getting ministered to is so you can do ministry out there. Okay? Amen. But make room, just like the prophecy has been spoken over this church. Make room. We got to start making room. We got to start rearranging things. We need to start moving things around. And I'm really, that's one thing that I did on this trip is praying and thinking. And God, help me not get into the day-to-day and put my head down and constantly doing all the normal pastor stuff. Get my head up and let's have a vision of where God is going. And so I needed that time to get a refocus and a revision of what God wants to do before I get stuck in the Mondays, right? Of all the ministry stuff, of whatever pastor didn't say right in the pulpit, whatever, you know what I'm saying? All the things. Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't. There's a lot of people that say a lot of stuff. So just pray for me, church. Right? Not everybody's always nice, and sometimes I don't want to be as well. So pray for me to be kind. Well, church, this morning we're going to conclude our series titled Authentic Manhood. This series is set to inspire and equip men to pursue authentic manhood as modeled by Jesus Christ in his 33 years here on earth. We've been exploring the basic foundations of authentic manhood and God's clear design for men. We've explored biblical perspectives that equip us to learn from our past, come alive in our present, and enjoy God's best for our future. Our world is desperate, church. We are desperately in need of better men. Authentic, godly men. Amen? How did God change the world? Jesus and 12 men. Fact. Now, Jesus asked a lot of questions in his life. Did you notice that reading the Word? Like, you ask Jesus a question, and he asks you a question back, and you're like, man, to me, that drives me crazy. It's like, I'm pretty sure you didn't answer my question before you asked your question, so can you answer my question? Then you can ask your question. I think I was first. But Jesus asked a lot of questions in his life. See, all the people laughing. I hate that too, Pastor. It drives me crazy. More than 300 of those questions he asked other people are recorded in the Bible. Over 300 questions. Jesus wants us to ask questions as well. For many Christian men, it's easier to be superficial than it is to be real. So when men are asked highly personal questions, especially in a group setting like today, many men feel the pressure to give expected responses instead of the real things that they're thinking or they're feeling. It's true. Matthew 7:7 says this, keep on asking, and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. Now, to get candid, authentic answers, church, you need to ask candid, authentic questions. Questions that knock on the door of a person's heart. So this morning, we're going to get real. Amen? You ready to get real? Look at your neighbor and say, I want to get real. Now look at your neighbor and say, that's weird. Why'd you say it like that? We got something special for you. You ready? It's called a man panel. Eat that, view. Right? By the way, if you watch The View and that's where you get a lot of your insight in your life, repent and turn to God. Turn it off and get in your word.
lay hands on your TV. Oh, come on. Okay. About to get crazy. No, but I'm for real, man. If you watch The View and you're like, oh, amen, amen. They got some great, great wisdom. Man, it's straight from the world, man. It's just a mess. Tim Scott went in there and tore them up. Anyway, that was awesome. Anyway, I'm moving on. We got a man panel today. Board members, will you please come up and help me with the table and my pulpit real quick? Thank you so much. These board members are servants of God. See, we're going to do something special this morning. We got four godly men. I've invited them to come and share. We dropped the anointing. I'd pick it up. I'm sorry, I don't have any hands. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, brother. If you don't know who these people are, these are part of our board of elders. We actually have five of them. And then there's Pastor Mark. You put it right in front. Toward the edge, please. And more room. Thank you so much. Awesome. Thank you. Oh, that chair, right? That squishy one. Can I have a squishy one? Thank you. Squishier the better. Hallelujah. I got four guys that are going to come up, and they're going to grab a chair as well, and they're going to sit behind. And I'll probably sit right over here. Oh, well, I guess they're going to grab your chairs. Never mind. Thank you. I'm going to put one right here, if you don't mind, Miss Sarah. Thank you so much. All right, guys, when I call your name, come on up and sit at this table with me today. Ready? Ron Wick, please come join us. Hallelujah. Maurice Martin, come on up, man. Put on the Prices Right. So you're going to run up like it. 3 gallons of stuff. Morgan Maylert, come on up, brother. If you can't see that guy, you need glasses. And Hunter Holland, hallelujah. Come on up, have a seat. Share your life with us. Come on up, brothers. Wherever you want to sit. You got to sit. Morgan definitely needs to sit. Oh, my. We appreciate Morgan getting all the cobwebs that we cannot reach. He's a good man. Servant of the Most High. Now, I've asked these men, church, to be real and to be raw and authentic in their answers today. So, guys, I'm going to ask you to say five questions or answer five questions here in just a moment. So, I want to say, and there's a mic. When you grab the mic, just put it on your chin so everybody can hear you. So your name, where do you work, tell something about your family, how long you known Jesus, okay, and who are some of your heroes? All right, who wants to go first? It's time to lead. Gotta lead. Whoever wants to go first? Hunty. All right, brother. You remember all those questions? That was a lot.
I think I got it in my
notes. Okay, perfect.
Is this good?
Oh, you're good. He's got it now.
Oh, there it is. Hey. Thank you, sound team. Well, my name is Hunter. I have two kids. Two. Wow. One's brand new. She's over there. She's amazing. A son and a daughter. I have a loving wife. We're getting ready to celebrate 5 years of marriage in August. So, rock on to that. But to answer the question, how long I've known Christ, I actually grew up in church, this church to be exact. But I think I've known Christ for, like, actually known who Christ is for about 10 years or so.
Where do you work and who are some of your heroes?
Where do I work? I work at Ivon Communications, so I give you guys internet.
Thank you.
Yep. And then my hero, of course, the man himself, Jesus Christ. The only hero to die for the villain.
That's right.
Right, yep. And then the late Steve Irwin.
Steve Irwin, okay. Tell us why.
He was just a really good guy.
Cared for animals. Can you talk like him while you explain him, please?
I will not do that. No, okay. No, that I will not do.
All right, perfect. Thanks, Hunter. Good job, mate. Okay, I had to do it. Thanks. Morgan, go for it, brother.
All right, my name's Morgan. Family, I've got a wife and a daughter. We've been married for 7 years. My daughter's six. As far as how long I've known Jesus, probably not long enough. So I grew up in the church. I've had a relationship with Jesus since I was young. But really in the last couple years is when I've really started to grow. My walk has been all over the place, more of a meander, maybe some detours throughout my life, but now is as crazy as it's ever been. It's awesome. Where do I work? So I'm a police officer in Hiawatha. I've been in law enforcement for 12 years now. I mean, before that, I was in the military. But as far as my hero, without a doubt, my wife, my worldly hero, she's a rock star. She's put up with me and a lot of the stuff that I've brought into our lives. And she's held our lives, our marriage together, our family together. And she's not a quitter, and she's strong, and she's fierce. So.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Awesome. So who's not going to speed into the parking lot next week? Yeah, we're watching you. All right. Maurice, what's up, brother?
Good morning, church. Good morning. Good morning. I'm Maurice Martin. The four things about me and my family. I have a wife. I have two children. I have a 25-year-old son and a 12-year-old son. I currently, right now, work at Pepsi, and I've known Jesus for about 12 years. I've always heard about him, respected him in somewhat, but I didn't live for him when I was younger.
Yeah.
He has a plan for all of us, and I'm thankful he has his own timing, you know.
Amen.
So, he found me, and I found him at the perfect time, and he truly has changed my life. As far as my heroes, never grew up with heroes.
Mike.
Sorry, never grew up with heroes, but I can say since I found Christ, he has put some godly men in my life, and
Amen.
To truly show me how to be a man, to lead my family, and just who we're supposed to be in this world. Amen.
Amen. Where you work?
Pepsi.
Pepsi. Oh, you said that.
I said Pepsi.
Okay.
Yes.
If you're holding a Coke, do I just smack it out of your hands? Okay. All right, Ron.
Shalom, church.
Shalom.
My name is Ronald Perry Wick. I've been married to Lola, my high school sweetheart, for more than 68 years. Woo! And I honestly can say I'm more in love with her today than I was yesterday.
Man, you are
Lola
so
and I have three
awesome.
Children. What's that?
You're awesome, man. You're awesome.
Lola and I have three children, Catherine, Susan, and John, 9 grandsons, 6 great-grandchildren. I'm finally great at something, you know? When I was 47 years of age, I asked Jesus into my heart, October 11th, 1982, in Tampa, Florida.
Yeah. Woo.
It goes without saying that Jesus and my family are my heroes, but in growing up, I have heroes you probably never heard of. Stan Musial, and quarterback Johnny Unitas.
Oh, yeah. So that's his post, yeah. Amen. Where do you work, Ron?
I work at home. I'm an artist. I still paint. I take the summer off to play golf, but other than that, I paint quite a bit. I also teach privately. And that's pretty much who I am.
Amen. Awesome. Thank you. All right. Ron, don't put that in water, please, sir. you can keep it, Ron. We're going to stick with you. Yes, sir. Just no water. Okay. Guys, just put the mic up to your chin when you're talking. That'd be awesome. Thank you for sharing. A couple more questions. Ron, we'll start with you. What's your favorite thing about being a man? And then what's your favorite snack?
The snack is easy. Anything chocolate.
Okay. All the ladies, hey! Woo, Ron!
It's not a snack, but Lola's pies come right in there close. Favorite thing about being a man?
Yes, sir.
That was a perplexing question.
How do
you answer that without boasting, you know? If you'd asked me that when I was in my 20s, the testosterone would have answered a different question.
Yeah.
Now at my age, that has kind of diminished.
I think we're picking up what you're laying down, brother. Keep on moving on.
Much to the disappointment to my wife and myself.
I told you you're going to be real or raw.
You said to be honest.
It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible.
But I guess
we're going to have a big crowd next week. Big crowd.
Being a man, I guess, is right now is cherishing the moments. Knowing Lowell and I have left a heritage, we're proud of our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. And that's something that we have carried on from our grandparents and our parents. And I just want to say one thing about love. Never, ever forget to say I love you. Can I tell just a short story? We had a...
Yes.
I've got the mic.
Yes, sir. Hey, Maurice, put in water, man.
I had a good friend of mine, Perry Pittenham, who was a musician. And he left to go to a concert one evening, and he never came home. He was in a tragic automobile accident. Afterwards, his son said to me, "You know what my dad's last words to me were? I love you, son. Don't ever,
Amen.
Ever forget to say I love you."
That's good.
Love you, church. Amen.
Maurice, the same question. Your favorite thing about being a man, and what's your favorite snack?
Well, Brother Ron kind of took mine. They're going to be close, though. Favorite thing about being a man is a chance to have my own children, to raise them up, and to see them be successful in life. That's what we would all want for our children as men. Honestly, I was a child that didn't have my biological father there. So as we're talking about authentic man, it's very important for men to be involved in their children's lives, to be the disciplinary, to show them love and affection. Like, I know men, we try to be dominant and aggressive all the time. For the most part, in my family, it was ruled by fear. And I just try to sit and talk with my children. As much as I can, hug on them and kiss them and tell them that I love them and that they are worthy, because I didn't have that. Now, I did have a stepfather in my life that showed me how to love a woman, as far as seeing it in the home, the affection that he gave my mom. Yeah. Even though he was my stepfather, I always had a birthday gift. I always had a Christmas gift. He showed me how to provide, to be a provider for my family. And so I'm thankful for that, to be able to have my own kids and to instill those same things into them, because eventually they'll be grown. They'll be out in the world.
Yeah.
And we are responsible for somewhat who they are when they get out there. And so the best example that we can be in the home will help them out in the future. And so I try to show them the same thing. I go to work every day. I try to lead them to church every week. I kiss my wife. I hug my wife. I clean up in the home. There's lots of different responsibilities for men. But we want to do our part to set them up for the future, to be productive citizens of any community that they're
That's
in.
Right.
So,
that's good.
And as far as favorite snack,
I think we got
I would have to say it's chocolate as well.
Okay.
Anything with chocolate, peanuts, cake, anything like that.
Yeah. Okay.
That would be my snack of choice. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, church.
Thank you.
Ice cream.
Ice cream.
Any kind, really.
Amen. Can I get a testimony?
Yes.
Amen. That's good.
Favorite part about being a man, I think being a dad and a husband is awesome.
Put the mic up a little bit.
Up. All right. Is that better?
Yes.
Right. Growing up, I thought being a man was learn how to fight, be tough. Wasn't totally wrong, but being able to fight spiritually, especially for my wife and my child and
That's right.
My community, and be able to implement that and growing and I guess gaining wisdom in how to implement that is probably the coolest part I've experienced, and knowing what a man is and seeing that and not necessarily even having that modeled growing up. So it's even more unique for me to be able to see that. And I think probably a lot of men can experience that or can say the same thing too. But yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, sir.
My favorite snack is graham crackers and milk.
Okay.
Specifically, the cinnamon graham crackers, okay? So good. But my...
If you put peanut butter. Ooh, peanut butter.
He said, tell the crowd what just happened.
He told me to put peanut butter on the graham crackers. So
it's wisdom.
That might be a next step. We'll see. But my favorite part about being a man is... It's almost counterculture to do so, especially in this day and age.
That's
cool. With what you know the world is trying to push out there. But we get to stand up, stand out as the Lord intended, right? As godly men, as leaders, that's what we're called to do. And like you said, we're supposed to fight spiritually for our families. I think even people who aren't our family, right? It's supposed to be for everyone, so...
That's good.
That's my answer.
That's a great answer. Thank you so much. Wonderful. Thank you, guys. A few more questions here. So this one's specifically just for Ron. You might want to do it at the altar. This is fun. Ron, When you look back in your life, did you have any shame or regrets? And how are you dealing with it?
Wow. I have many over my 67 years. When I was a young man, I was confident in my ignorance.
That's good.
I'll get that'll, you a little time preach. To think about that.
That'll preach.
I was 47 years old when I met Jesus and came face to face with my sins. What a shame I felt. I can tell you that having lived 47 years before I accepted Jesus, I pretty much broke all the commandments, and I'm not proud of it. I have shame for what I cost Lola and the children. We lost our home. I lost my company that I had. Everything. Sometime when you have time, Lola and I will give you our testimony. But we had Jesus to get through all of the bad times. And I found out that you're either full of yourself or full of God. I choose God. We have a scripture verse hanging on our wall that says, Joshua 24:15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
That's good. Come on. Oh, one last thing. Amen. So, do you have any other wisdom for men to move forward if they're feeling shame or regrets in their life?
Any wisdom? Own up to what you've done.
Come on.
You can't hide it from Jesus.
Come on.
You need to confess, get on your knees, and tell him exactly what you're feeling. He knows what you're feeling, but tell him. It's so wonderful to get it off of your system, out of your system, when you've, as I have, committed so many sins. And it is such a relief to know that I don't have to carry him anymore.
That's good. Amen. Thank you, Ron. That was awesome. Maurice, have you ever dealt with failure in your life? And how did you deal with it?
I, of course, have dealt with failure, just like each and every person in this room. I have failed coming up, trying to do things my way, before I knew the Lord. Being a bad example for my eldest son, when I was in the world living my own life. I've made plenty of mistakes. Whether it be in mismanaging money, living paycheck to paycheck, barely making it. There's a lot of tough things that I did before I knew Christ, and allowed him to do his will in me. And I got really off when I was younger, you know.
But sure.
By the grace of God and his mercies, you know, he came into my life. He's allowed me to see some godly men raising their children, leading them to Christ, trying to live right. And I guess I would say to be a blessing to other young men that look like myself in this community. I would say one person
would have to be Brother Aaron Green, who used to mentor and go around to all the schools and pull the minority children out of school and just to love on them, to show them that they are worthy and important and able to be successful in life, you know, regardless of your circumstances. Like I said, I was a young father. My mom had me when she was 16 years old. Turn around. I had my child at 16, my first child at 16. And my father was always in and out of prison. I never really got to know him. But as Pastor Mark said last week, that's not an excuse for men, you know.
Come on.
Our job is to own up to our responsibility. I know one thing that I told my wife currently, my wife right now, we weren't married at the time, but we've been together since we were 16 years old. I'm 42 years old now.
Oh.
So I've spent most of my life with this man. We build a very comfortable and blessed life since the Lord has come in. We've had our tough times. We've had our challenges. We got really off in the world, and the Lord came in. And he's blessed us. He's put people around us, as I said, to encourage us, to sow into us, to show us that we are worthy of his love and that there's things for us to do in this world. I just thank him for, like brothers like Aaron Green. I thank him for my pastor, Tim Pridgen.
Yeah.
I want to thank him for people like Brother Cherokee, who was also sowed into me, you know.
That's right.
And it is an example of, for young black men. And it is truly an honor, as I said, to be a parent, to be the example. And I appreciate what the Lord is doing in my life and where he wants to take me. And so as we get back to the first correct question is, have I failed? I failed plenty of times as far as even being a Christian with being obedient to his word, going over and praying for somebody, speaking life into somebody out of fear.
Sure.
Out of fear. Maybe not of, I would say, knowing his word like I should or being confident in his word like I should.
Sure.
To have the ability to be bold and to witness to others and
Amen.
Things like that. So,
like, what's some advice you would give to men listening that are facing failure in their life or have faced failure? What's some good godly wisdom, what you've learned?
Well, a good godly wisdom, I guess.
Mike.
Sorry.
There you go. You're good.
I guess Martin Luther King would probably have said it best. He would say, fly. And you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. And when you can't walk, crawl.
Come on.
But no matter what, keep pushing forward. And that's what the Lord
wants
us to do. Even as we're young, we may get off from the Lord's plan in our lives.
That's good.
Our goal is to repent, ask for forgiveness, and keep on pushing forward.
That's good.
To not let anything stop us from our Christian walk, our godly walk, and doing the things that he wants us to do in the world, because we all have a purpose.
Amen.
And with you or without you, the purpose will be fulfilled. So I want to be part of his purpose. I know I am part of his plan,
right.
But I want to fulfill the plan that he has for my life.
Come on.
And to be obedient to that. So,
that's good, Maurice. Thank
amen.
You. Come on. Good. Great answer. You about to preach, brother. You got to stand up and shake a little bit. That's how I do. All right, Mr. Morgan. Have you ever felt small? Just joking. I was born 6'2". And have you ever felt like you weren't enough? And how do you deal with it?
So, yes. Pretty much I think every man or every person even can say that it's almost every single day that we try and see if we can measure up to the world or the enemy that instills those thoughts into us. And whether it's finances or what car we drive, where we live. Mm. I mean, it's just the world is the enemy.
Yeah.
I mean, if we allow it to be.
Yeah.
And so every day, if we see those things, we see, you know, maybe a lot of stuff that maybe we don't have or that we want or changes that we want to make. Even they could be healthy things that turn unhealthy. But dealing with that is, you know, when I don't push things under the rug and actually confront it with my Bible and prayer, my wife, or even friends and people that I can, you know, talk with or have conversations with. And all they are is insecurities.
Yeah.
And God doesn't make mistakes. He makes us perfect.
Yeah.
Perfectly imperfect, but yeah, everything in this world is subject to change. Everything around us.
That's true.
We don't know how long we're going to be here. We don't know how long a relationship may last. We don't know how long our car will even last. Somebody could get, I'm not going to speak that over anybody, but things can change quickly, and we can't, it's all out of our control for the most part.
Yeah.
And feeling like we're enough ultimately comes down to prayer.
Yeah.
And knowing our word and learning, continuing to be students of Christ.
That's good.
So
Morgan, if I was feeling like I wasn't enough, I'm going through that, or a guy in this room or watching online, what would you tell them? How can they deal with that? What would you tell them, like, step one, step two, like?
Just bring it to Jesus. Yeah. Bring it to the altar. Come up there. You don't have to know what you're doing. I've been,
yeah.
A lot of this is new to me still, and I'm still sure. Trying to be a student here, and hopefully a forever student. But left foot, right foot, repeat. You got to.
It's good.
Put one foot in front of the other before anything else. If you don't do that, you're never going to move.
Very good. Very good. Hunter, tell us your secret sin. I'm just wondering. Switch it up on you. Just like, I used to do that when I was a youth pastor just for fun. Hey, if anybody's new in here, raise your hand. All right, tell us your secret sin. They didn't come back the next week. I stopped doing that. Just playing. Hunter, what's your greatest fear?
Okay.
And how long, or how are you dealing with it, man?
I have two. And one is absolutely failing my family. That's one. And then two is getting to judgment day and not hearing,
yeah,
well done, my good and faithful servant. That's my two fears. And how do I deal with it? Bottom line is I serve my family and I serve the Lord. That's about all I can do.
Amen.
To deal with it.
So when you're feeling that fear in your life, like, dude, I'm failing my family, or I didn't serve God like I thought I should, or something like that, like, what's the first thing you do to remedy that or to move forward and not go down a dark path?
Get on my knees and pray. If it's something I just continually struggle with, I'll go to somebody.
That's good.
You know, be like, hey, I feel like I'm failing in this area. I'll go to my wife. Like the other morning, I wouldn't say it wasn't like a failing, but I woke up and I just felt overwhelmed. You know, she's a week over postpartum. A lot of stuff in the house had to get done. You know, stuff that's, you know, we're a team, we work together, but stuff that I don't normally have to deal with, right?
Yeah.
And I just woke up and I was like, ah, you know, and she could tell. She's like, what's wrong? And I was like, I'm just overwhelmed. You know, there's so much stuff that has to get done. And she's like, hey, it's okay. And she, you know, she helped me prioritize the list. She was able to knock some stuff out. Ultimately, stuff got taken care of,
which was
really good. So, men, talk to your wives. They're your partner.
Amen. Amen. Here's the last questions I have for each of you. So we're going to go, let's go youngest to not the youngest. Guess who? You know I love you. You know, I love all you guys. I appreciate it. By the way, thank you. You guys are doing awesome. You're doing a really good job. Keep sharing your hearts, man. It's blessing people. If you're blessed, say amen. Okay, praise God. See? You're doing good. All right, Hunter.
Yes.
Also known as Hunty. That's what I called him when I knew him when he was younger.
Yep.
What does a godly man look like? And then give us one piece of godly wisdom that you want all men to know.
A godly man, first and foremost, should fear the Lord. In Luke 1, 49 through 50, it says, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. And with that, if you have children, if you oversee children, it's your job to pass that down. That. Because in Proverbs 22:6 it says, train a child up in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So that's what a godly man should look like.
Amen. That's very good. So, that's good. Very good. What do you scripture? Well done.
I thought it was appropriate for this
I think
time.
It's appropriate. This is a great setting for this. All right, so give us one piece of godly wisdom you want all men to know.
Okay. Know the Lord's voice. Because if you know the Lord's voice, you can spot the counterfeits.
Come on.
And continue to practice your discernment.
Yeah.
And last thing is be hell's most wanted.
That's
Make
good.
Sure your poster is on the wall.
Come on now. Give yourself right here. Boom. You know he's bad because he's got like a Spider-Man tattoo right there on his hand. I know it's coming off, but you're bad mama jamma. Come on, that was good. All right, Morgan. What's your favorite thing about being a Christian? And also give us one piece of godly wisdom you want all men to know.
Favorite thing is community. And I never really experienced that until coming here in December. My wife and I started coming here. And it's just been overwhelming. It just everyone's been authentic. And that alone, I think, has helped push me into the next, phase, if you want to call it that, of my walk with Christ. It's been cool. It's been really cool to see. It's important, and we're only, we are the church. The community is.
It's good.
So we can't do this by ourselves. As far as wisdom, you can't grow if you don't let go.
That's good.
And that is something I have learned the hard way. But
that's good. Come on. All right, Maurice. What would you like to give that you never got? And then also one piece of godly wisdom you want all men to know.
Well,
don't forget the mic.
What I'm giving that I didn't get, I would say, is a real father, a parent, is what I'm giving.
I truly care for my family, my two boys, my wife, and I would do anything for them. Anything to make them happy, to give them what they need. You know, I work harder to provide all needs. So that's the first thing I think I would give, is just to be a parent that I haven't got. Godly wisdom would be to just, for men, to not get so down on yourself if you make a mistake or something doesn't work out the way that you choose it to, that you want it to. It's all in God's timing. And as I said, He has a plan for all of us. As long as we stay in the race, keep pressing forward, never giving up. And just remember that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that's, we just need to continue pressing in each and every day that He gives you breath in your body. We consider it as a blessing. Keep moving forward and do our best to please Him each and every day.
Come on. It's good. Maurice, I just want to be obedient to God. I just hear God's voice saying He's so proud of you.
Thank you.
He's proud of you. You are breaking bondage in your family, and you're bringing it to the Lord. He's proud of you, dude. I just felt like I need to say that. He's proud of you.
Well, that's one of my goals, mostly. It's always been my prayer to do my part in breaking generational curses. And
come
if
on.
We go back to...
Uh-oh, somebody about to preach!
If we go to...
I see it again.
The importance of a man. Let's say, in the United States, there's 23.9 million fatherless children in homes without the fathers in them.
That's right.
Now, out of that, if we think about how important it is to be a father and the damage we do to our children when we're not there, let's just say, for those households... And this was probably a couple years back. 63% of teen suicides is from a fatherless household.
Yeah.
70% of juvenile and state institutions is from a fatherless household.
Yep.
71% of high school dropouts are from a fatherless household. 75% of children with chemical abuse or in, dependencies or in the in a drug centers and things like that is from a fatherless household.
Yeah.
80% of rapists are from a fatherless household. 85% of youth in our prisons is from a fatherless household. 90% of homelessness and runaway children are from a fatherless household.
Wow.
So that speaks to us how important it is for the man,
yes,
to step up and take his rightful spot in the house, to do his duty in training his children up, leading them to Christ.
That's good.
And we can do none of that without Christ in our lives.
That's good.
If we don't have Christ in our lives, we don't know how to love each other.
Yep.
'Cause He is the ultimate sign of love. And so every day I wake up, we continue to press forward and to want to do the things that please Him. And to honor our families and steer our children, not only our children, but people who are in contact with us on a daily basis, to encourage them to go the right direction, to lead them towards Christ.
That's
amen.
Good. Amen. Very good. You guys are all doing a wonderful job, the best you can at being a father. We need you guys. The world needs you.
Amen.
You know, the society needs you. Keep trucking, right?
Amen.
Hell's Most Wanted. What is that, man? That's cool. That was legit, man. I was about ready to fight somebody. I was like, oh. Stir me up. Okay. All right, Ron, last two questions for the morning. How does a godly man lead? And what's one piece of godly wisdom you want all men to know?
First of all, you have to follow Jesus. If you want to be a leader, follow him.
That's right.
You can't do it on your own. I am so humble that I have had godly men to help me. My father is one. But we have to be honest with others, and you have to be honest with yourself. You have to have integrity, accountability. Mm-hmm. Give more than you expect to receive.
That's right.
And I can tell you about something I'm still learning. Temptations never stop coming. Mm. I don't care how old you get, the temptations are still out there for you.
That's good. One piece of godly advice you want all men to know.
Well, they've pretty much done it here, but may I give an analogy here?
Yes, sir.
Since I'm an artist for about 70 years, life to me is like a clean white canvas. In the morning I wake up and I start to paint on that canvas, and I'm doing a pretty good job, you know? And then I make a mistake. And then I try to clean up that mistake, and I make it worse. And as I go through the day, I paint some good stuff, and I paint some bad stuff. At the end of the day, I give this canvas to Jesus and tell him I'm sorry for all the bad stuff. Mm. You know what he does? Mm-hmm. In the morning, he gives me a clean, white canvas. His mercies are new every morning.
Come on. That's good. Thank you, Ron. Guys, I just want to thank you.
Go ahead. Just give me a hand.
Y'all can stay standing. Hey guys, I just want to say a few things. Yeah, go ahead and stand, fellas. Nope, sit down. Sit down. No, stand up. Yeah. Thank you so much for being real and honest and raw today. Thank you for sharing part of your life. Thank you for blessing us. I know it wasn't easy. Some of y'all that I went up to ask you, you look like you're going to throw up in your mouth, and maybe you did. You guys did really good. You nailed it. You did wonderful. We're proud of you. We thank you. Also, thank you for leading the way that you do, because everyone is watching how you lead. And I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to pray for you guys right now. But Ron, would you close this prayer? Worship team, will you come back up? I just want to pray over you, because here's one thing I've learned in ministry. When you step out, especially when you step out spiritually, the devil comes after you. So what you did today was a victory for the kingdom, but the enemy is putting a bigger target on your back because of what you did today too. So I'm going to pray protection over you. And then Ron, will you help close the service before we have worship here in a moment? Do you mind doing that, sir? Okay, thank you. Father, I just, church, just extend your hands to these men right here. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for these men who are leading the best that they know how. I thank you for that. They are following you the best that they know how. I just pray for protection. Put angels around them and their families right now. I pray against any assignment of the enemy be broken by the blood of Jesus. You have no place. You have no foothold. God, I thank you for the things that they're doing now. I pray for them that this next coming week, that because they stepped out, God, you will strengthen them in the things that they even spoke about today. And the things that are upon their heart. Any insecurities to be broken by the blood of Jesus. May your love cover a multitude of sins, no matter what they're facing, whatever they're doing. God, I pray right now for a blessing to be upon their families, for blessing us. I thank you for that. God, I thank you for what they've done. And God, I actually pray right now for a sphere of influence to increase around them. The people they know now, may it increase by 2, 3, and 4-fold. That they can be examples of what a godly man looks like, with men of integrity, responsibility, and strength, and love, and honor. We thank you for them now, God. I thank you for this time together. Go ahead, Ron.
Holy Father, Lord Jesus, I know these men and myself are so humbled to be able to come up here and to speak, and I hope that we've said something worthwhile. Lord, I pray for this church. I pray for each individual. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you feel, Jesus is there. Mm-hmm. Jesus will lead us.
Thank you.
Jesus will heal us. Jesus will guide us. So Lord, I pray for this church. I pray for our pastors. I ask, Lord, that as we go this day, as we leave, that we will be a good witness wherever we are, whatever we're doing, that you will be first in our life. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice.
Come on.
To worship you, oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King.
Come on.
In what you hear, let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Amen.